It's PacView's Melissa Burdick, the Wizard of Woodland Hills Shree, special guest host Jackie Danowski from Flywheel, and I'm PVSB, also from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 29th, an ACDS annual week, and it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We find them masterfully intriguing. We hope you do too. They're brought to you through our partnership with RetailWit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com, it's retail right now. Sheree, lead us off, would you?
Albertsons has been named the 2024 winner of the Webby Award for People's Voice Top Shopping and Retail App. I am so immensely proud of the shopper experience team, our engineering counterparts, and all of our cross-functional partners across the organization. Cheers to your hard work and customer obsession, said Jill Pavlovich, SVP of Customer Experience at Albertsons. 23 individual Albertsons associates were recognized in earning this award. Congratulations to all of you, and over to you, Melissa.
Best Buy and CNET are combining their ad inventory. Consumer electronics retailer Best Buy and digital publisher CNET are teaming up to create a new retail media model. The electronics retailer and the publisher are combining their ad inventory, allowing advertisers to buy across Best Buy Ads retail media network and alongside CNET's tech review-focused editorial content, and measure whether ads seen on either platform drove sales. In a month-long survey during which CNET content was displayed nationally across Best Buy's in-store TV walls, 86% of respondents said the content made them more confident in their purchases. It also garnered a 25% lift in purchase intent, according to the companies. Super interesting space as retailers continue to look for differentiation.
Thank you, Melissa. The National Association of Chain Drugstore annual meeting set to take place this week in Palm Beach, Florida. The annual meeting of the NACDS is set to begin Sunday, April 27th at the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach, Florida. Featured speakers include Walter Isaacson and Arthur C. Brooks. NACDS annual is noted for the strategic meetings that transpire between retailers, consumer goods manufacturers, sales and marketing agencies, and other ecosystem service partners. If you're on a budget, make sure to get a hot dog at the poolside restaurant at $27. It is the least expensive menu entree offered at this five-star resort. Brian, Sheree, and Andrea are all in attendance this year. Closing it out, Jackie.
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Red Bull Pink Edition Sugar-Free hits shelves. Red Bull is launching a new permanent sugar-free edition this summer. Red Bull Pink Edition Sugar-Free combines raspberry and forest fruits with herbal notes of verbena. It is the second new variant introduced by the brand this year, and the first fully sugar-free flavor in its portfolio, aiming to attract new shoppers to the category. Red Bull editions have been largely incremental to the brand, with 50% of edition buyers being new to Red Bull as they grow their flavor offering.
Thank you, Jackie, and welcome as a guest host to the Fresh Four. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our co-hosts, Sheree Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Sheree and Peter. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. I'm one of the aforementioned CPG Guys. I'm PVSB. I'm also the VP of Partner Strategy and Development at Fetch Rewards, a mobile loyalty platform. As always, I'm joined on this educational journey about how brands and retailers engage consumers by my very dear friend and an empresario in the consumer packaged goods industry. What I love most about him, honestly, when we do this week over week, is honestly, he has an insatiable curiosity to learn. And that just makes this podcast so much more meaningful. So please join me in welcoming the other CPG guy. He's known as Sheree. Sheree, how y'all doing today?
Mr. Man with the golden voice and the radio face, as said by Zara herself. It's a pleasure doing this week over week without you, insatiable curiosity. Peter, yours is no different, and I think that's why we work well together in this podcast. Beautiful day here. I'm actually in Minneapolis today. And you are in Guilford?
I am, and if you're in Minneapolis and it's not July 4th, that means it's winter, right? Is that how it works? Okay.
Since we're around July 4th, it's 85 degrees.
Sri, have you figured out what the state bird is in Minnesota? I believe it's the mosquito.
Yeah. I didn't know, but I will now. My curiosity will make me investigate.
Yeah, it absolutely will. Sri, before we get to our guest, I'd like to remind our audience that all of our content, our series on profitability, our Women's Leadership Series, where we help give $8,000 to Susan G. Komen Foundation, our Founder Series, everything, the podcast that we like to listen to when we don't listen to ourselves, when we're not completely self-absorbed. It's not often, but occasionally we're not completely self-absorbed. Just go to cpgguys.com. It's all free. Nothing. Don't charge you. There's no pay portal or anything. And the best way to keep in touch with us and all the content we're generating, just go to LinkedIn. In the search bar, enter in CPG Guys. That's CPG Guys. Get to our CPG Guys page and click the blue follow button. Click that. You follow us. You see all the stuff we post. You're up to speed on all the podcast episodes we're doing. It's a really great way. And as I said, it don't cost you nothing, as John Belushi would say in Animal House. So anyhow, Sri and I are very honored that our podcast tracks so many industry luminaries from notable companies. And today we are especially pleased to have such a guest. I'm not going to go in and start chanting out the Michigan fight song, though I'm very tempted to. Hail to the, yeah, exactly. But he's a graduate of Michigan. He did his MBA at Columbia Business School, where I also have a degree. He's the director of CPG Retail Partnership, Shopper Marketing, and e-commerce. That's a long title, isn't it, Sri? That's a big one. He's got a lot of responsibilities at a tiny little social media company called Facebook. That's right. Where he partners with.
What is that, Peter? Like, is it a book and a face?
A face and together? A book. Like, remember when you got to college and they'd hand you the Facebook and say, here are all the members of your class?
No.
That's where it came. Isn't that funny? That's actually where it came from, the Facebook.
I remember your books, but we're going to
have
more
that.
Today.
Didn't they have that at Virginia Tech?
They did, but it was your books.
Okay, it was your books. Okay. So anyhow, he partners with many of the world's largest consumer packaged goods companies and retail companies to develop their overall business and marketing strategies. He's been at Facebook for a little over a decade, and he is an expert in all things Facebook and Instagram marketing, including both brand and direct response objectives. So he's here today to speak to us about how brands and retailers can leverage Facebook and Instagram. By the way, we're going to have to figure out why my dog has more Instagram Facebook followers than I do. That's irritating me. But anyhow, he's going to talk to us about how to engage consumers in a rapidly transforming digital marketing landscape. So to our audience, please join Sri and me and welcome to the podcast, Dave Sommer. Dave, greetings. How you doing today?
Greetings. Go blue. Thank you for having me.
Dave, explain to me this. Why, if it's the Big Ten and there are more than 10 members, is math an issue? Is that not a core curriculum? I'll just put that aside.
I'll just put that aside.
Okay. Before we get to the questions, Dave, because Sri and I've got
Mr. Bond is drawing me into sports conversation.
I know. Sri loves it. It's that in hip hop. When I start talking about Tupac and Notorious B.I.G., it's that whole East Coast, West Coast thing. Sri,
I will sing for Peter.
He does. He sings hip hop. It's really scary. But before we get to the questions, Dave, it would be really great if you could first tell us where your audience, because our audience is very much B2B in terms of their expertise in consumer packaged goods, digital marketing, e-commerce, what have you. Where can they learn more about Facebook's marketing solutions? And then would you also give us a kind of a brief overview, 30,000 foot, of what your team does?
Sure. And thank you, Peter. And thank you, Sri. I feel very honored to be on the show. I have listened to the podcast several times and I always enjoy it. You guys make me laugh, but I also learn a lot. So to your first question about where you can find out more about what I'm going to be speaking about. I mean, the first one is pretty simple. It's just facebook.com/business. And then for Instagram, it's the other way around. It's business.instagram.com. And then a new resource is something we have called Blueprint Training, which is free. and you would go to facebook.com/business/learn, or you could just Google search Facebook Blueprint Training, and there's incredible courses on there. And to the second part of your question, I lead a team, Team CPG at Facebook, which is appropriate for you guys, the CPG guys. And I've been very fortunate. They say hire people better than you. I hired people from agencies, from client brand building backgrounds, from retailers and category management. And we work as consultative partners, or at least we aspire to big brands to help them get their business outcomes, help them either build brands, driving equity, or drive sales, whether it's online or in a physical brick and mortar store. So that's the elevator version. We help big brands deliver their business outcomes.
Dave, when I formed this podcast, my number one goal is to find someone with substantially more intelligence and wisdom than I did. And there was no one I could have chosen better than Sri. So that's, I appreciate your strategy. Surround yourself with incredibly intelligent and wise people. All right. So thank you for that. And what I'm going to do is all the sites that you mentioned will include hyperlinks in the digital liner notes of this podcast. So our audience, fear not. Dave threw out quite a bunch of them. There'll be links in the digital liner notes, so you don't have to write them all down. All right. So why don't we get to the questions? I know Sri and I have put together some great ones. We're really anxious to hear from you. Let's get started. I'll kick it off. So why don't you talk to our audience about kind of the core set of advertising and engagement tools that you offer to brands and retailers based on their marketing objectives, and what kind of targeting capabilities do you include in those platforms?
I guess I would start first with people. And people spend a lot of time on our platforms. In the beginning, when I started 10 years ago at Facebook, I had to tell that story of how much time people spend on their mobile phones and Facebook and Instagram. I don't have to tell it anymore. But it is a massive amount of people. Think 3 billion people, and there's, 7.8 billion people in the world. So that's a lot of people to reach for marketers. And these people gain value by connecting with people and businesses they care about. And so for marketers, it's an opportunity to reach people and build brands and drive sales. And sometimes to simplify things, I talk about four buckets of measurement, and starting with the most basic. So media value, you know, reach and frequency. How often do you want to reach somebody? If you think of Byron Sharp, he talks about physical and mental availability. So that ties in very well with media value. The next would be brand metrics. So if you ran a study that asked questions about purchase intent or brand preference, how would people answer those questions? The third would be sales lift. And when I started Facebook, we didn't have physical sales lift in brick and mortar stores. That was really the breakthrough, is when we were able to match who saw an ad on their mobile phone on Facebook or Instagram and who made a purchase in a physical store. That was kind of the breakthrough. And we did it with, at the time, it was a company called Datalogix. Now it's called Oracle Data Cloud, but Nielsen also has a solution. So that's sales lift. And the last I would say is marketing mix models, MMM, which is, for those who aren't familiar, most of your audience probably is, kind of a regression analysis to see which things work the hardest in your media. So we think about all of those, and we talk to our partners, and we find out which ones they want to drive. Now, specifically, you asked about targeting. So this is kind of an interesting area. I mean, of course, we have a lot of information because people log in as their real selves. I log in as David Summer to Facebook, as well as to Instagram. So you can do targeting based on demographic, gender, age, geography. But the interesting part, and I'll get into this a little bit more as we continue our conversation, and it's something I've had to learn and stretch my brain to learn about, is that very often it's best to let the machine decide who to serve the ad to. The machine, with all of these people taking actions all the time and different marketers trying to reach them, gets smarter and smarter. So one concept I'm going to continue to talk about throughout our discussion today is this idea of, yes, test, learn, and measure, but also open up the placements. So let ads run across Facebook, Instagram, eventually WhatsApp and other places, and also let the machine help with the targeting as well. And one of the things I'll just close with on your question about targeting is when people interview for a job at Facebook, I often say, you know what, try dog fooding, try the product out yourself. So create a little page. It could be Dave Summers It could be Dave Summers' dog walking service. And then go in and look at the targeting and see what you can do, because it's open to everybody. Anybody can see how you can target on Facebook. And even if you run $5 in ads or $2 in ads, you'll learn a lot. And so I found that to be very helpful for practitioners. Does that answer the question?
It absolutely does, Dave. And Sri, when you get to Los Angeles, you can try targeting Yankees fans. I think you're going to be pretty lonely, but good luck. Good luck.
You got it.
You know, speaking of targeting, that's my question for you, David, which is, first of all, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you and actually engage with a leader from Facebook on both the capabilities as well as your viewpoints on how a lot of this is going to play out in the CPG industry go forward. So my question really focuses on that very targeting. You know, our audience is obviously quite familiar with all of the changes that are taking place currently in the industry, with the ability to target consumers for digital media through cookies and through the latest Apple iOS, which was released less than 2 months ago. From your perspective, David, as a Facebook leader, especially for the industry that you are championing, which is consumer packaged goods, which relies significantly on targeted behavior, et cetera, what's changed or will be changing about the ability for a marketer like me to target content delivery on Facebook, Instagram, and all other social media platforms that you connect with, or other internet-based mechanisms you connect with?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think, you know, starting to already converse with you, Sri and Peter, I get the competitive spirit, whether it's Yankees, Dodgers, or anything else you guys are bringing up. So I'll get a little competitive too.
Sure.
You see one of our competitors or another tech company, Apple, and they're advertising, and it's very provocative. They show these commercials that show that personalization and advertising is a negative thing. I have to say that philosophically, we believed personalized content or things that are more relevant to people are better for people. And so that's one fundamental difference. But you are right. Apple's new operating system will make it harder for marketers to target people with relevant messaging. So we're working on a lot of different things. And what I would say to CPG CMOs or leaders who ask me about this question is that we're in it together. It is a big change in the industry, and I guess that's why you guys are asking me about it. And there is no easy solution. We're going to learn together. Things are going to change. So maybe it's direct response and we start to see a slightly lower rate in response rates. Or maybe it's brand building and we see slightly lower lifts in brand preference because the targeting has been diluted a little bit. I think the machine learning will get smarter and our solutions will continue to improve. I will say I feel fortunate. I think Facebook's well positioned in this environment. We do have a lot of our own first party data. And so these are the conversations that I'm having with CPG partners is how can we help you with this? How can we learn together? We may have to iterate and do some things differently, maybe try some different buy types without getting technical, maybe try different optimizations. But I have a feeling we'll still be a pretty good return on investment for CPG partners. And one thing that marketers can do to future-proof their business is to start to gather first-party data themselves. And as I speak with CMOs, I hear it a lot now. You know, I have a KPI. It's how do I gather first-party data? We have a number of tools to help with that. We have something called Lead Ads, for example, where it's very transparent for the consumer, but they can put in their information, and that actually goes to the brand marketer, and they can build segments, they can target against it. So that's a very good solution for CPG marketers. I listened to one of your other podcasts, though, and I heard somebody say, and you guys will remember who, they said something like, get your digital self in order before you figure out the digital shelf. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
And I think that's true, too. I think the only danger I would caution CPGs and retailers about gathering first-party data is you have to have someplace to put it. And so even if Facebook has the best solution in the world to help you gather names and addresses and start to build different segmentation, you need to have a system ready for that. So these are the conversations that I'm having with CMOs. We have really good tools, but if you talk to us as a partner, we can figure it out together. And I guess one other point, which I can't remember if you asked me about it, is conversion API, which sounds very, very technical.
Yeah.
But in addition to kind of cookies and pixels going away, this is an opportunity for brands' servers to speak directly to Facebook servers and pass the data back that way. The only caution I would have is you really have to have a consumer who wants to fill in information and actually make a purchase for it to be really effective with conversion API.
Dave, you had me at API. Just those three letters drive me crazy. Let's shift to shoppable media. It's all the rage. I'm going to tell you right now, anytime you put in the Instagram feed a golf shirt that Rodney Dangerfield would have worn in Caddyshack, and the kind of shirt that my wife wants to throw out the minute I bring it into the house, I'm all over that. So I love shoppable media. So can you tell us a little bit about Facebook's shoppable media offerings and how that plays into a brand or a retailer's advertising plan? And then ultimately, what kind of insights do you have on the rising importance of this? I feel it, but I think that I'm not going to make judgments based upon an audience of one. I'm sure you have some data to talk about how important this is.
Yeah. Commerce and shoppable media is a huge focus for Facebook and Instagram right now. And it's aspirational. It's fun. We all experience it when we're going through our own feeds with our thumb on Instagram and Facebook. First, I'll define it a little bit. And if you remember, you guys were around the same age. You remember people talking about Jennifer Aniston on Friends and saying, in the future, you'll be watching Friends and Rachel, who's the character in Friends, will have a shirt on and you'll be able to click on that shirt and buy the shirt. Do you guys remember that too? I see you nodding your head. But that future has absolutely happened and it's alive and well on Facebook and Instagram. One way to think about it, the way we think about it and talk about it, is discovery commerce. And so there's kind of two sides to it. One is, if you already know you want to purchase something, so you already know you want a new golf shirt like the beautiful one Peter has on with the Augusta National on there. If you know you want that, you can go to Amazon and type it in, or you can go to Google and type it in. What we're doing that's a little bit different is serving it up to people we think will like it in their feed. So they discover it, hence the name Discovery Commerce. And then I think all of us in this space know that the more clicks you create away from the feed, the more people that drop off. So we're creating really seamless, innovative ways where it's one click to buy right from feed. And it's gonna change the game. Now, it doesn't work for every category. It's tempting to say every CPG should go and do this, but the reality is, not. I've heard you talk about this in some of your other podcasts too, not every CPG is going to be a huge DTC home run. There has to be a value proposition for the consumer. And so I think the way to think about it is, it's best served for brands that do have a DTC value proposition, things you would buy on your own. So, for example, a whitening system that costs more and is a light product to ship, that might make a lot of sense. Or a subscription product is another good one. Again, or a passion project like a golf shirt. So, but if I was running a CPG business, a big CPG business, I'd experiment with maybe four different flavors. One would be kind of retailers.com. And having a strategy, picture a spreadsheet where you've got four columns and you're testing these things out. Retailers.com, I would experiment with DTC. And then at Facebook and Instagram, we have something called collaborative marketing, which is shopper marketing with retailers. And it's relatively new. Mm-hmm. But with certain retailers, think of Chewy or Drizzly. Yeah. So if you're a pet food maker, you can actually target Chewy shoppers and drive to e-commerce. And then both the brand gets some of the data back as well as the retailer. So that's what I mean by that collaborative marketing. And then the last is what you really asked me about, which is innovation, which is shops, live shopping. Live shopping is when you basically have almost like an auctioneer talking about the product. Like think of sneaker drops and the latest styles, or even influencer content integration. So anyway, my long way of saying, if I was in your shoes, one of your listeners, and I was running a big CPG business, I'd think about all four. Retailer.com, direct-to-consumer, collaborative with retailers, and then kind of this innovation bucket, if that makes sense.
Sri, he mentioned collaborative with Drizzly. Are you familiar with them?
There might have been somebody on this podcast who introduced me to Drizzly.com.
There might have been.
Which I might be leveraging tonight, actually.
Ooh. Very exciting.
Oh, I wish we could have a martini together, or at least a beer.
Some point we will, David. Once this COVID thing, which is coming to an end, hopefully, is actually over. So I'm going to jump into a slightly different area because Peter used the word API. One of the questions I'd ask you is, here on the show, when we use acronyms, we ask for the decomposition of the acronym. Now, obviously, Peter and I are familiar with what an API is. But, David, could you take a second here and just decompose what an API is for our audience?
Absolutely. So it's a way that two computers and two servers can speak to each other directly, as opposed to having a cookie have to identify who the computer is. It's a little bit of code. And I will say right now, these things are a little bit technical. So if you want to do conversion API, Peter said you had to be an API. If you want to do it, you need somebody technical to help you. But like a lot of things, I think there's going to be a real democratization of it. And I think we're going to be see anybody who wants to be able to hook up their store online, so their .com store, and be able to pass back who clicked on the ad and who bought the product so that you can optimize and measure against it.
Yeah.
And Peter, I assume your love for API will continue in the future. So on that thread, Peter, I'm going to jump into experiential technology. How do you like that, Peter?
I love it.
So David, my question is, how is experiential technology intersecting with e-commerce on Facebook? And then take a second to decompose experiential technology, especially the marketers listening in are going to know what this is in a second. We have a fairly wide audience. Then let's get back to what it's doing for e-commerce when it comes to e-commerce and outcomes for the shopper and consumer.
Yeah, experiential technology. I'll talk about two things that Facebook is pushing on that we're really interested and excited about. One is augmented reality, which is, if you think about these glasses I have on or what Peter has on, if you're looking through them, you're seeing the world, but what if you could overlay certain things on there? So if you were thinking about trying on new makeup and you want to see how the makeup looked, you'd be able to see it with augmented reality. Or if you want to see how a new shirt would look, you'd be able to see that without trying it on. So that's kind of augmented reality.
Hey, David.
Yes.
Does the fact that when Peter's looking at his glasses, he sees drizzly.com count as augmented reality?
That's distorted reality, Sri. Very different. Very different.
It's not augmented. It's VR.
Yeah, right. And then virtual reality, which is, we have a product called Oculus, but there's a few in the market. And it's a really immersive experience where you put on goggles. And if you ever read the science fiction book, Ready Player One, there was a movie too, but the book is much better. It talks about a world where when you want to go on vacation and you want to experience something that you don't need to get on a plane and fly for 12 hours, you can actually see it in the Oculus glasses. So these are two examples of experiential technology. And you alluded to it earlier. E-commerce has moved much more rapidly than we ever thought. It used to be a tiny percentage of CPG business, but now it's become a really significant part. And COVID, as you also alluded to, did that. I mean, when we talk about stats on the Facebook side, we say that the e-commerce business advanced 10 years in a year in e-commerce because of COVID and people trying it out. Okay, so you take augmented reality and you take the progression of e-commerce, you put those things together, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I have the beauty categories for Facebook, and all of these beauty companies, I alluded to it, they want to sell makeup, but people can't go to Sephora and Ulta as much and try it on. So they're creating ways for people to try on the makeup, see how it looks, and then buy it right there. And I have to say, I don't think the genie's going back in the bottle. I think we've all gotten pretty accustomed to omni-channel and all the different ways you can buy. And so experiential technology is just going to be a big player in that. And I think it's going to be more and more common. Now, we haven't figured out the Willy Wonka bar that used to be able to travel through the TV yet, so you can't taste it for food categories. But for beauty, for personal care, I think there's a lot of interesting applications.
Great. So the next thing I'd like to ask from you, Dave, is can you help break down, and let me preface this by saying we're all very focused on ensuring that the information presented to us is authentic as possible. I think we've been overloaded the last year or so with everything around this very issue. So can you take us through the process of how Facebook reviews ads that are being submitted, and how are you ensuring that the content is authentic and that there's accountability in evaluating that advertising content before it reaches your platforms?
Yep. It's when I joined Facebook 10 years ago, I'd hear the engineers talk, and they would talk about a very hard problem, And they would say it kind of with pride. They'd be like, that's a really hard problem. I would say that that's a really hard problem when you've got 3 billion people using a platform. That's just the people and then all the businesses as well. To try and make sure all the content is authentic and vetted is tricky. And one of the things that Zuck, that's what we call Mark Zuckerberg, one of the things that Zuck always says is he will throw as much resource as is productive at that problem. You can only hire so many people. We hired 10,000, then 20,000, then 30,000. Every bit of content that goes on the platform gets reviewed, and that goes for ads too. I'll talk about both content and ads. And some of it is human reviewers, and a lot of it is machine learning. It keeps getting smarter and smarter. That and our policies keep evolving based on what we learn that people find acceptable and brand safe in the environment. So the percentage is very small, but truthfully, any amount of bad content on the platform is not good and not allowed. We have something called our CSER report, which is Consumer Standards Enforcement Report. And it's a very, very small percentage, again, of the massive amount of content that's on our platform, but we're still always attacking it. So, okay, now to your question. How do we make sure advertising claims are authentic? We are a people-first platform. We're community-first. We're focused on being brand safe. We actually are making partnerships with all the same people that traditional media companies have. So organizations like the NAB come to mind, who I've spoken to quite a few times. And if there is a challenge, so if you think that a competitor has made a claim on the platform in their ads, we have that same process where that claim can be arbitrated and taken down by an industry body. So that's a little look at how we're working to protect the platform, keep it safe, and also keep the claims authentic. And then the last thing I'll say, which is kind of unique to our platform, is we have what we call the creepiness factor. And the nature of Facebook feed and Instagram feed is so personal that if we started, I'll go back to a whitening system. If we started an ad with, hey, want to take care of those yellow teeth, people would be really freaked out. I mean, that might be okay in a print ad, probably not, but you know what I mean. Yeah. So anything that applies to you and might describe a personal characteristic of somebody who's going through their feed on Facebook or Instagram is also something we don't allow. No creepiness.
Got it.
All right. So you remember that word I used earlier, David and Peter? I said DR.
Yeah.
Anybody remember?
Yeah.
And so we're going to use it in a slightly different context over here. And the question is, how do you think about DR success metrics in a post-iOS 14 world? And how does conversion API fit into the mix? And David, you absolutely have to decompose what DR is and conversion API is.
Excellent. Okay. So DR is direct response. So that's, and another term we use in tech companies all the time, which I had to get used to, was signals. You know, this notion that every time somebody hovers over an ad or every time they click on an ad, it's giving off signals to the machine learning. So Sheree is right. What he's pointing out is with these changes to privacy, we're going to lose some of that signal. And so we're going to see less of the characteristics of people who click through and make a purchase. And to some extent, you know, I talked about that big breakthrough for us when we could tell who saw the ads on Facebook and if they bought in brick and mortar stores.
Yeah.
We're going to lose some of that even online. Like as an industry, we're going to lose that. So that's the challenge you're putting in front of me. And I alluded to this a little bit earlier in the podcast. Our best solution right now is conversion API, which is a little bit of an integration. And I was trying to make sure that I get it right, what API actually stands for. We use it so often, but it's application programming interface.
Yep.
Okay. But that is just a way of saying that two servers speak to each other.
Yep.
And so let's say that I start selling coffee beans from my house as a side business, and I create a little website that says davescoffeebeans.com. I love coffee. I got a cup right here. If I want to integrate with Facebook and keep that capability of knowing who saw the ad for Dave's Coffee Beans and made the purchase, the easiest way I can do it is by adopting conversion API. So creating a system where my website tells Facebook who came and made a purchase, because then Facebook can basically match that up with the information we have about who saw the ad, and we can start to make those connections about what type of brand marketing drove the business outcome. So I tried to boil it down as much as I can. Sri, did I get it? All right.
Dave, let's shift to, I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, my day gig is around helping brands build loyalty. So obviously brands and retailers are seeking to build effective loyalty mechanism to do a couple things. One, to target and acquire, to elevate and advance, and to retain and grow some of their, even their most valuable customers. Remember, one of the data stats that always fascinated me from my time at dunnhumby was even among Kroger's most loyal shoppers, like their top 5%, 43 cents out of every dollar they spent on consumer packaged goods products were spent outside of Kroger. So everybody's thinking about the value proposition here, right? So there are a lot of digital platforms that are rapidly disrupting this space. What are really your thoughts on how loyalty within CPG and retail is transforming right now?
Yeah, it's a great question. And part of it ties back to what we were saying about discovery commerce, mm-hmm. which is letting people know about brands they've never heard of. You might have been a loyal Gillette guy forever, and then you see something, I'll use a slightly dated example, but Dollar Shave Club, mm-hmm. and they might entice you to come over and try their razors with a different value proposition. And so that discovery commerce is part of what's disrupting the loyalty equation. But I will say that I think we have a lot of ways to help marketers build deeper connections with people at Facebook and Instagram. And I think that's really what we're talking about. I mean, sometimes a CMO will say to me, Dave, you guys are so strong on direct response. Can you actually build a brand? Can you actually make people love my product? And a lot of that falls on the creative. I mean, as I think about it, reaching people is one thing, but it's also reaching people with the right storytelling or the right creative. So we have tools and tactics. I can talk to you about them. So we have stories, we have reels, we have, of course, feed, and then we also have longer form video opportunities. Like what we call in stream, and you can target different people. So that's one side of it, is like the right creative that's going to actually capture somebody's heart and want to keep them loyal. The second part of it is more technical, which I would say we talked about building first party data. There's a lot of ways on Facebook to start to gain more information and start to segment your consumers so that you can remarket to them across the whole life cycle of your products. And so that's a little bit more technical. So I would say the answer is kind of twofold. One is great creative, where you reach people, and that could be videos that capture the heart and mind. And it could be the second part, which is technical solutions that also allow you to remarket and target and segment people. And, you know, I know there's a lot of other third-party companies that reach people on Facebook and Instagram too, and I think there's a big opportunity as well.
So, Mr. Peter Bond, we're going to get to the question of the day because we're going to go into my day job. We're just competing about our day jobs now. First, it was loyalty, and mine is to keep a lens on the future of shopping. So for brands, retailers, the CPG ecosystem, what steps do you recommend they take now to future-proof themselves?
Yeah, first of all, I know Peter is the loyalty master, so I felt a little silly talking about brand loyalty with him. So if I missed anything, feel free to chime in. Did I miss anything, Peter? No? Keep going?
We other than the fact that Sri and I are devotees of IGTV, no, you got it covered. We do our weekly Fresh 4 news update in IGTV because we want the lasting SEO value. So we are big
David,
followers.
Betcha you didn't know we had an Instagram
channel.
I'm going to check it out. I'm going to spend some time with it. I'll tell you, this whole experience of working with you guys on this has shown me how much I have to learn about podcasts too. And it's exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting. I'm enjoying this immensely. You can probably tell from the smile on my face.
Good.
All right. Back to Sri's question about the future of shopping. It all goes back to the consumer. I mean, the three of us have been in this industry a long time. And I think it's tempting to say, oh, technology is going to lead us down a path and everybody's got to jump to direct to consumer. But I think really we have to understand the value proposition for the consumer and how they want to shop. And so I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I would say test and learn. And again, play with all. I'm a big believer in setting up experiments. And that's That's part of what I love. And I believe the truth will set us free. So try all the different retailer.coms. Try Walmart.com and Target.com and Amazon.com and see what's working. Try what I was describing as collaborative marketing with dot-coms like Chewy or Drizzly, and try DTC. And then Peter asked me earlier about shoppable media and that being all the rage. I would say dip your feet in there. Why not? With small experiments, but always trying to find what's the right value proposition. Ask yourself, would I buy this product DTC? Ask yourself, would I buy this product if I saw somebody talking about it on a live show in my newsfeed on Facebook or Instagram? And I think let that guide you. And along the way, you'll learn a lot of things and you'll see what works and you'll get better and better. It also goes back to what I was saying about what we call dog fooding, which is another technology term, but I think it's been around now for a while. My dad actually was a Purina dog food salesman many years ago, and he said at their sales meeting, they would actually dog food, and they would eat the dog food. They'd get so hyped up that this new product for dogs was so tasty. So I would say the same thing. Log in to facebook.com/business. Try running some ads. See what you think. And then the last point on future-proofing your business, don't just gather first-party data for the sake of gathering it, but if you have invested in your digital self before your digital shelf, if you've gone ahead and done that, then yeah, start to build up your own first-party data. We have tools for that, but that's your job as a CPG marketer to start to build your own segments and be able to target for the future.
Dave, my first job out of business school was working for Hart's Pet Care, and they made these little dog cookies. They were basically butter cookies. And when I would have client meetings, I would just sit there and open up the box and start eating them. And it would always cause a controversy, and I loved it. So I love being a spectacle.
I mean, that's got to be where the saying comes from, right? It's used all the time in tech, but.
I think so. You know, I want to remind our audience that all of our content, our podcast is now on, I think, 40 plus platforms. It's on the Amazon Alexa system, Google Home. You can just ask your virtual assistant to play CPG Guys podcast. We are, as we mentioned, we are on Instagram. We're obviously on LinkedIn. All of that content, everything we do, we have a list of podcasts that we listen to, as I mentioned, when we're not listening to ourselves. Just go to cpgguys.com. And we are an audience-driven podcast, which means your feedback helps dictate inviting on great people like Dave and the topics we cover. So just go to ratethispodcast.com/cpgguys and leave us some feedback. We listen to it. We are very, very interested in what you have to say, and we want our content to be reflective of what our audience is looking to do. Dave, thank you so much for joining us today. You have satisfied our request to teach people how the sausage is made and educate them on where Facebook is helping brands and retailers engage with consumers. So thank you for that.
Thank you. And I just want to say, it reminds me, my first job at Facebook was to be a client partner. I led the Procter & Gamble relationship globally for Facebook. And I was there in Cincinnati so often, they called me a client friend. They changed my title. And I hope that I can be a client friend to you guys too, Sri and Peter, and any of the CPGs that are listening today, and be a trusted partner. I do believe the truth will set us free on these things. So if we don't do what's right for the business and for partners in this business, we won't last very long. So we're in it together.
Amen to that. Amen. Sri, wow. They just keep getting better and better, don't they? These conversations we're having. This was just a phenomenal one. What'd you think?
Two things stood out to me, Peter. We invented a new term, CF, client friend.
Client friend. I like that.
And I felt really cool telling the CPG leader at Facebook and Instagram that we actually have an Instagram account. And he didn't know.
Yeah, but again, my dog has more followers than the CPG guys and you and me combined. So,
oh, is that why he doesn't know?
Maybe not as many as your daughter.
All of a sudden, he had to bring objectivity to the conversation.
I know. Well, your daughter puts all of us to shame. She's got like the most followers I've ever seen.
Well,
but thank you. Thank you for joining.
Thank you so much, Peter. David, it was a pleasure having you and decomposing Facebook for the CPG industry, and thank you also for meticulously taking time to decompose APIs for us, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. So with that, I'll thank all our audience for joining us for this episode, and we look forward to you coming to us on the next episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Goodbye.
The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.